What do you really know about cunnilingus? Explore the thrills of this ancient art form, guided by knowledge from the Kama Sutra. Next, take a fascinating journey through the exotic, vibrant pleasures of the Arabian gem, the Perfumed Garden, where you will discover the many names given to a woman's sexual flower. To conclude today's session, we will receive a first-hand taste about Tantra from the real confessions of a female yogic practitioner. We meditate upon the state of delicious intimacy, generated by the overwhelming love in a spiritual couple. Your yogi host today will be Tiger Lily.
Hello, and welcome to Tantra FM, the key to your heart. I'm your host, Tiger Lily.
Cunnilingus, the kiss of a woman's intimacy. There are many preconceived ideas about oral sex. For example, that some noxious substances are emitted whilst performing it, or that even though it may be a pleasurable act, it is perverse and should not be practiced. Moreover, people seem unable to admit that the desire to practice oral sex originates in the human nature itself. Genital kissing is an ancient lovemaking technique capable of propelling us towards erotic ecstasy in a completely natural and refined way. The pleasure felt by the mouth in that moment is delightful, both for the man and the woman. This can be experienced to the full when the woman lies on the body of her lover in the opposite direction. He will then introduce his penis in her mouth, and his head will be between her promising thighs. He will touch her for a long time using his tongue. Controlling the pleasure becomes a need for the man who wants his lover to reach the climax of ecstasy. In fact, sexual continence represents the influence of consciousness over the senses, a victory of the intelligence over the instinct. Thus, the man will manage to make his lover very happy, and she will feel to be much more loved by him. Every woman has her unique way of being. The female genital system differentiates in form and the way the clitoris is placed, the colour and the aspect of the labia or the texture of the pubic hair. The intimate touch of the vulva awakens the desire to stimulate it up to the possible limits of excitation. The slower the touching of the vulva is, the more it awakens the woman's lust. This growth of the erotic pressure is obvious when the woman's breath is deeper and deeper, and the spontaneous movements of her body are ample. Then the woman stretches her body like a bow, waving it from her neck up to the buttocks. Admirable and daring, the woman's act of shamelessly displaying her clitoris is, without doubt, the proof of her desire to offer herself to the sight and to the thrilling contact of her lover's mouth. Simultaneously, her mouth will feel and touch his lover's penis, devouring and looking at each other, caressing and hugging in the arms of each other. They abandon to one another in a continuous manner. As a consequence, their sexual organs melt with their lips, following the harmonious dance of timeless lovemaking. 8 Techniques of Cunnilingus from the Kama Sutra. 1. The man, using the tips of his fingers, delicately presses the lips of the cave of love, carefully getting them close together and kissing them as if he were kissing the superior lips of his lover. This is the thrilling kiss. 2. Then he will move away from the labia and will introduce his tongue in her vagina, while the nose, the cheeks, and the lips will move circularly. This is the technique of moving around the tongue. 3. The lover will keep his tongue still between the two labia, and afterwards he will introduce it strongly into the vagina, causing the bursting out of the nectar of love. This technique is called the massage with the tongue. In the next phase, he will attach his lips to her labia and will kiss her deeply, lovingly, gently biting and sucking the clitoris. This is absorption. The man, using his palms, will lift the exciting buttocks of his lover, and then he will explore the navel of his lover with the tip of his tongue. Afterwards, he will slide downwards so as to get into the dwelling of the god of love, where he will sip the water of love. This is sipping. The woman takes in her thighs with her hands, lifting them up as far as possible, while the man sips with his tongue from the sacred spring. This is called the turning around. 7. The man lays his lover on a sofa, lifts her legs and puts them on his shoulders, then embraces her waist and afterwards gives her a prolonged kiss on the opening of her vagina, absorbing her intimate fluids. Thus he applies the method called the intense absorption. 8. The two lovers lie one next to the other, face to face, and kiss each other's sexual organs, thus using the technique of cooing. Sundry names given to the sexual organs of women. We shall present the names given to the sexual parts of women in The Perfume Garden, an Arabian book inspired from the Kama Sutra. This book is available for free in full version in our e-library. El Kius, the vulva. This word serves as the name of a young woman's vulva in particular. Such a vulva is very plump and round in every direction, with long lips, grand slit, the edges well divided and symmetrical and rounded. It is soft, seductive, perfect throughout. It is the most pleasant and no doubt the best of all different sorts. May God grant the possession of such a vulva. Amen. It is warm, tight, and dry, so much so that one might expect to see fire burst from it. Its form is graceful, its odor pleasant, the whiteness of its outside sets off its carmine red in middle. There is no imperfection about it. El Kimoon, the voluptuous, the name given to the vulva of a young virgin. El As, the primitive. This is a name applicable to every kind of vulva. El Zezar, the starling. The vulva of a very young girl, or, as others pretend, of a brunette. El Chilk, the chink. The vulva of a bony, lean woman. It is like a chink in a wall, with not a vestige of flesh. May God keep us from it. Abu Tetaur, the crested one. It is the name given to a vulva furnished with a red comb like that of a cock, which raises at the moment of enjoyment. Abu Kokimi, the snub nose, is a vulva with thin lips and a small tongue. El Genfond, the hedgehog, the vulva of the old, decrepit woman, dried up with age and with a bristly hail. El Sekuti, the silent one. This name has been given to the vulva that is noiseless. The member may enter it 100 times a day, but it will not say a word and will be content to look on without a murmur. El Dekak, the crusher. So called from its crushing movements upon the member, it generally begins to push the member directly it enters, to the right and to the left, and grip it with the matrix, and would, if it could, absorb also the two testicles. El Tsegul, the importunate one. This is the vulva, which is never tired of taking the member. This latter might pass 100 nights with it, and walk in 100 times every night, still that vulva would not be sated. Nay, it would want still more, and would not allow the member to come out again at all, if it was possible. With such a vulva, the parts are exchanged. The vulva is the pursuer, the member the pursued. Lucky it is a rarity, and only found in a small number of women who are wild with passion, all on fire and in flame. El Taleb, the yearning one. This vagina is met with in a few women only. With some it is natural, with others it becomes what it is by long abstinence. It is burning for a member, and having got one in its embrace, it refuses to part with it until its fire is completely extinguished. El Hakin, the beautiful one. This is the vulva, which is white, plump in form, vaulted like a dome, firm and without any deformity. You cannot take your eyes off it, and to look at it changes a feeble erection into a strong one. El Nufak, the swelling one, so called because a torpid member coming near it and rubbing its head against it a few times at once swells and stands upright. To the woman who has such a one, it procures excessive pleasure, for at the moment of the crisis it opens and shuts convulsively like the vulva of a mare. Abu Dejbaha, one with a projection. Some women have this sort of vulva, which is very large with a pubis prominent, like a projecting fleshy forehead. El Usha, the vast one. A vulva surrounded by a very large pubis. Women of that build are said to be of a large vagina, because although on the approach of the member it appears defined and impenetrable to such a degree that not even a merud seems likely to be passed in. As soon as it feels the friction of the glands against its centre, it opens at once, wide. El Arid, the large one. This is the vulva which is as wide as it is long, that is to say, fully developed all round, from side to side and from the pubis to the perineum. It is the most beautiful to look upon. As the poet said, it has the splendid whiteness of a forehead. In its dimensions it is like the moon. The fire that radiates from it is like the sun's, and seems to burn the member that approaches. Unless first moistened with saliva, the member cannot enter. The odour it emits is full of charms. It is also said that this name applies to the vagina of a woman who is plump and fat. When such a one crosses her thighs one over the other, the vulva stands out like the head of a calf. If she lays it bare, it resembles a sere, for corn placed between her thighs, and if she walks, it is apparent under her clothes, by its wary movement at each step. May God, in his goodness and generosity, let us enjoy such a vagina. It is of all the most pleasing, the most celebrated, the most wished for. Abu Belawain, the glutton, the vulva with a vast capacity for swallowing. If such a vulva has not been able to get coitus for some time, it fairly engulfs the member that then comes near it, without leaving any trace of it outside, like as a man who is famished flings himself upon viands that are offered to him, and would swallow them without mastication. El Makar, the bottomless. This is the vagina of indefinite length, having, in consequence, the matrix lying far back. It requires a member of the largest dimensions. Any other could not succeed in rousing its amorous sensibilities. Abu Chefrin, the two-lipped. This name is given to the amply developed vagina of an excessively stout woman. Also to the vagina, the lips of which, having become flaccid owing to weakness, are long and pendulous. Abu Angra, the humpbacked. This vulva has the mount of Venus prominent and hard, standing out like the hump on the back of a camel, and reaching down between the thighs like the head of a calf. May God let us enjoy such a vulva. Amen. El Robal, the sieve. This vulva, on receiving a member, seems to sift it all over, below, right and left, fore and aft, until the moment of pleasure arrives. El Hazaz, the restless. When this vagina has received the member, it begins to move violently and without interruption, until the member touches the matrix, and then knows no repose till it has hastened to the enjoyment and finished its world. El Lezaz, the unionist, the vagina which, having taken in the member, clings to it and pushes itself forward upon it so closely that if the thing were possible it would enfold the two testicles. El Mud, the accommodating. This name is applied to the vagina of a woman who has felt for a long time an ardent wish for coition, in rapture with the member it sees. It is glad to second its movements of come and go. It offers its matrix to the member by pressing it forward within reach, which is, after all, the best gift it can offer. Whatever place inside of it the member wants to explore, this vulva will make him welcome to, gracefully according to its wish. There is no corner it will not help the member to reach. El Muen, the assistant. This vulva is thus named because it assists the member to go in and out, to go up and down, in short, in all its movements, in such a way that if it desires to do a thing, to enter or to retire, to move about, etc., the vulva hastens to give it all its facilities and answers to its appeal. By this aid, the ejaculation is facilitated and the enjoyment heightened. El Mezbal, the long one. This name applies only to some vulvas. Everyone knows that vulvas are far from being all of the same conformation and aspect. This vulva extends from the pubis to the anus. It lengthens out when the woman is lying down or standing, and contracts when she is sitting, differing in this respect from the vulva of a round shape. It looks like a splendid cucumber lying between her thighs. With some women, it shows projecting under light clothing or when they are bending back. El Molkai, the duelist. This is the vulva which, on the introduction of a member, executes the movement of its coming and going, pushes itself upon it for fear of its retiring before the pleasure arrives. There is no enjoyment for it but the shock given to its matrix by the member, and it is for this that it projects its matrix to grip and suck the member's gland when the ejaculation takes place. Certain vulvas, wild with desire and lust, be it natural or a consequence of long abstention, throw themselves upon the approaching member, opening the mouth like a famished infant to whom the mother offers the breast. In the same way, this vulva advances and retires upon the member to bring it face to face with the matrix, as if in fear that, unaided, it would not find the same. The vulva and the member resemble thus two skillful duelists. Each time that one of them rushes its antagonist, the latter opposes its shield to parry the blow and repulse the assault. The member represents the sword and the matrix the shield. The one who first ejaculates the sperm is vanquished, while the one who is slowest is the victor, and assuredly it is the fine fight. I should like thus to fight without stopping to the day of my death. As the poet says, I have let them see the effect of a subtle shadow spinning like an ever-busy spider. They said to me, how long will you go on? I answered them, I will work till I am dead. El Harab, the fugitive. The vagina which, being very tight and short, is hurt by the penetration of a very large and soft member. It tries to escape to the right and left. It is thus, people say, like the vagina of most virgins, which, not yet having made the acquaintance of the member, and fearful of its approach, tries to get out of its way when it glides in between the thighs and wants to be admitted. El Saber, the resigned. This is the vulva which, having admitted the member, submits patiently to all its whims and movements, It is also said that this vulva is strong enough to suffer resignedly the most violent and prolonged coitus. If it were assaulted 100 times, it would not be vexed or annoyed, and instead of venting reproaches, it would give thanks to God. It will show the same patience if it has to do with several members who visit it successively. This kind of a vagina is found in women of a glowing temperament. If they only knew how to do it, they would not allow the man to dismount, nor his member to retire for a single moment. El Muzaffa, the barred one. This kind of vagina is not often met with. The defect which distinguished it is sometimes natural. Sometimes it is the result of an unskillfully executed operation of circumcision upon the woman. It can happen that the operator makes a false move with his instrument and injures the 2 lips, or even only one of them. In healing, there forms a thick scar which bars the passage, and in order to make the vagina accessible to the member, a surgical operation and the use of the bistour will have to be resorted to. El Meror, the deep one. The vagina, which always has the mouth open and the bottom of which is beyond sight, the longest members only can reach it. El Adad, the bitter. The vulva which, when the member has got into it and is burning with passion, opens and shuts again upon the same fiercely. It is chiefly when the ejaculation is coming that the man feels the head of his member bitten by the mouth of the matrix, and certainly there is an attractive power in the same when it clings, yearning for sperm, to the gland and draws it in as far as it can. If God, in his power, has decreed that the woman shall become pregnant, the sperm gets concentrated in the matrix, where it is gradually vivified. But if, on the contrary, God does not permit the conception, the matrix expels the seed, which then runs over the vagina. El Musas, the sucker. This is a vagina which, in his amorous heat, in consequence of voluptuous toyings or of long abstinence, begins to suck the member which has entered it so forcibly as to deprive it of all its sperm, dealing with it as a child drawing on the breast of the mother. The poets have described it in the following verse. She, the woman, shows in turning up her robe an object, the vulva, developed full and round, in semblance like a cup, turned upside down. In placing thereupon your hand, you seem to feel a well-formed bosom, springy, firm and full. In boring in your lance, it gets well bitten and drawn in by a suction, as the breast is by a child, and after having finished, if you wish to recommence, you'll find it flaming hot as any furnace. Another poet, may God grant all his wishes in paradise, has composed on the same theme the following lines. Like to a man extended on his chest, she, the vulva, fills the hand, which has to be well stretched to cover it. The place it occupies is standing forth, like an unopened bud of the blossom of a plum tree. Assuredly the smoothness of its skin is like the beardless cheek of adolescence. Its conduit is but narrow. The entrance, too, is not easy, and he who essays to get in feels as though he was butting against a coat of mail. And at the introduction it emits a sound like to the tearing of woven stuff. The member, having filled its cavity, receives the lively welcome of a bite, such as the nipple of the nurse receives when placed between the nursing lips for suction. Its lips are burning, like a fire that is lighted, and how sweet it is, this fire! How delicious for me! Elsenbauer, the wasp. This kind of vulva is known by the strength and roughness of its fur. When the member approaches and tries to enter it, it gets stung by the hairs as if by a wasp. El-Ha, the hot one. This is the one of the most praiseworthy vulvas. Warmth is in fact very much esteemed in a vulva, and it may be said that the intensity of the enjoyment afforded by it is in proportion to the heat it develops. Poets have praised it in the following verses. The vulva possesses an intrinsic heat, shut in a solid heart, interior, and pent-up breast, matrix. Its fire communicates itself to him that enters it. It equals in intensity the fire of love. She is as tight as a well-fitting shoe, smaller than the circle of the apple of the eye. El Ladid, the delicious. It has the reputation of procuring an unexampled pleasure comparable only to the one felt by the beasts and birds of prey, and for which they fight sanguinary battles. And if such effects are produced upon animals, what must they be for a man? And so it is that all wars spring from the search for a voluptuous pleasure which the vagina procures, and which is the highest fortune of this world. It is a part of the delights of paradise awarded to us by God as a foretaste of what is waiting for us, namely delights 1,000 times superior, and above which only the sight of the benevolent God is to be placed. More names might certainly be found applicable to the sexual organs of woman, but the number of those mentioned above appears to me ample. The principal object of this work is to collect together all the remarkable and attractive matters concerning coitus, so that he who is in trouble may find consolation in it, and the man to whom erection offers difficulties may be able to look into it for a remedy against his weakness. Wise physicians have written that people whose members have lost their strength and are afflicted with impotence should assiduously read books treating of coition and study carefully the different kinds of lovemaking in order to recover their former vigor. A certain means of provoking erection is to look at animals in the act of coition, as it is not always everywhere possible to see animals whilst in the act of copulation. Books on the subject of generation are indispensable. In every country, large or small, both the rich and the poor have a taste for this sort of book, which may be compared to the stone of philosophy, transforming common metals into gold. A real story about the art of erotic ecstasy. Here is a fragment of one of the most thrilling handbooks of erotic literature, a real practical guide for those eager to know the real value of ecstasy. Margot Anand Nazlednikov, a yoga practitioner and one of the most famous disciples of Osho, tells us about her spiritual erotic experiences. My sex life began when I was 16, when after so many fears and hesitations, I accepted to give up my virginity, which was so precious to me at the time. But my first special experience I had when I was 18. It made me decide to go on a long trip in search of ecstatic erotic experiences, a trip that is still continuing. At that time, I was in love with a young artist, Robert. He was exactly the type of man I was looking for, big, strong, and handsome, and it was so easy for him to conquer me. Though our sexual intercourse was very primitive, cruel, and savage at first, he totally made my teenager dreams come true. He behaved as any other man would behave with a woman. But at that time, I was starting to practice yoga and was having my first subtle perceptions. So as I started wondering if I could introduce these wonderful feelings inside my intimate sexual life. One night, while making passionate, mad love like we used to, I felt the need for a lot more peace inside myself, a lot more love. Something inside me told me that we could do a lot better, that sexual intercourse could help us discover new dimensions, where there is no limit between lovers. At that moment, I told Robert about my feelings. "Please, Robert, do it slower. Let's try something new." And we simply started moving a lot slower. It was a sudden transition at first. I felt like we'd stopped, like we weren't making love anymore. But this sensation disappeared soon, and we started caressing each other at first, our hair, then the back of our necks, and we lowered our hands and fingers down each other's bodies. Robert was exploring so tenderly and sensuous my breasts, hips, thighs, my whole body, and I felt I was dilating. I started floating with pleasure and happiness. There was a very deep and profound inner feeling, but we kept on moving one towards the other in sensuous, ample waves. Those moments, I was on top of him, so excited. It was something new in our lives and feelings, and I was responsible for it. It was a subtle change of roles, and I felt Robert changing, becoming so tender and kind. We were so close to each other, and I felt for the first time that a man could really understand a woman. We stayed that way for minutes, feeling the excitement and becoming conscious about how it rose in our bodies. I started to feel a warm and yet burning energy inside my pelvis that was extending all over my body. In order to maintain the sexual excitement, we went back, and when it came to fade away again to our usual way of making love, so alive and exciting, Robert was penetrating me so confidently and powerfully, being at the same time tender and passionate. The excitement grew very quickly, and we became like a volcano ready to erupt, but immediately before the climax we stopped, relaxed, and became quiet again, happy to savour the effervescence of our feelings. We did the same thing a number of times, and then something unexpected happened. Suddenly we both felt like we were projected into an unlimited space, infinite, filled with warmth and light. The boundaries between our bodies had disappeared, and with them the differences between a man and a woman. We almost became one and the same human being. The feeling was so full that we could almost touch it. We were out of the ordinary time limit, and we felt like we could stay that way, in that ecstasy forever. There was no need for a discharge or even for moving. There was nothing else to do to achieve. Everything was inside us. We were in ecstasy. After that unusual experience, we tried again and again to reach the exact same ecstatic state, when we loved each other, but there was no use. Robert forgot all this very fast. And yet, I felt more and more that the usual commonplace orgasm is not the only feeling in erotic fusion. As many, I'm sure, and this sentiment is more complex in a woman, I was frustrated by the fact that I wasn't using even 10% of my sexual erotic potential. I was realizing that an average pleasure, a domestic sexuality, was not all, and it really was only the beginning. Let us perform a meditation on the state of delicious intimacy generated by overwhelming love in a spiritual couple. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the state or aspect we are meditating upon, we shall use musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you are bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you eliminate all tensions, stress, and anything else that might disturb your meditation. Now we are ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect: on the state of delicious intimacy generated by overwhelming love in a spiritual couple. Let us begin. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Tantra FM. Until next time, have a great day.